Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Rue, and you're watching or listening to Human Potential at Work. Today, I have a good friend of mine, John Little, and he is joining us from Australia. So I'm recording this later than usual because John just got up. So, John, thank you so much for joining the program today.
My pleasure, Deborah, and lovely to see you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, I had the honor to interview your wife, Suzanne, about her work with the Australian Disability Network, and the show just went live, and she's an amazing woman, so I was very honored to interview her. But I knew you before Suzanne.
Well, yes, we did meet through the website Entrepreneurs with Disabilities.
Right.
And then we met again, but we met, if you remember, live at the USBLN
yes.
conference, first of all in Washington, D.C., and then the following year in Chicago.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. I was just talking to my husband and daughter because you brought me a little koala bear, which I loved.
I did.
You know, Americans, you can get us all excited because we just love the outback. We know Australia is nothing but the outback, which I guess is probably not true. But anyway, I really am honored. I'm honored to have you on the program. So, John, the reason why, there was a lot of reasons why I wanted to have you on the program, but I think often people don't think about persons with disabilities being entrepreneurs. And I know that you have been an entrepreneur your whole life and you've been a successful entrepreneur. And you also started the group Entrepreneurs with Disabilities that I was part of for several years. And so I really think my audience is going to enjoy your story of why did you become an entrepreneur? And I know you were thinking about the future when you became an entrepreneur, but that's the direction we want to go in. So do you mind telling us a little bit about who you are and, why you started the entrepreneurial journey?
Sure. At the age of 16, I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. I was told then that, in fact, I would have not so long to live, but I would manage to be able to use a wheelchair before that departure from this life. That was telling a 16-year-old not to smoke or not to do certain things. Yeah, who cares? I went on to live a life. I studied, I went to art college, I got into advertising, I've been a photographer, both employed and for myself, and my disability didn't seem to progress very much. But by the age of my late 30s, when I was still walking, I started to think, as it became obvious, my disability would progress, was progressing, that I would need to think about the future. Now, what do you do about that? Well, the first thing is to be in control of your own future, to work for yourself, if that's possible, and I believe it is possible for almost anybody to work for themselves, and particularly today with technology as it is. But I didn't have the benefit of technology in those days. I only had my marketing and creative mind, which is where I come from as a business, as an employee, and in work. I initially left my employment as a publicity representative for a large theatrical company, and I started my own advertising agency because somebody said, oh, you should do that. You can make lots of money. So I did. And I did. And during that time, I wanted to try and employ in our agency somebody with a disability to work there. I had in mind reception, front desk, customer service, but it was very difficult to find people And so it didn't actually take place the way I wanted. Later on, when I moved out of my agency, I made a bad move. I guess all entrepreneurs at some stage will. I made a bad move and I moved to another part of Australia without thinking it through. There I am with a rapidly progressing, by this stage, disability. I was not yet using a wheelchair, but I was not walking with any great confidence. And I started to think, okay, I'm in my 40s. I'm clearly going to need a wheelchair sooner rather than later. What can I do that will allow me to work in my wheelchair? Again, at a time when there wasn't technology as it is today. I was introduced to the concept of resumes, CVs, as they call it in some parts of the world. And I looked at what was being done in the name of resume for people looking for work, and I thought it was awful. I thought it was boring. It didn't tell a story. It didn't sell anything, much less the applicant. And so I thought to myself, quite arrogantly, I could do better than this. And I decided to create a style of resume that was more of a personal marketing document, the way we've subsequently gone today. But it wasn't like that then. I thought, this is quite easy. So I ran an ad in a local paper, said, resume writer for hire, call me, and the phone rang. Somebody came to see me. I did their resume, and they loved it, and they paid me. And the phone rang again, and rapidly, increasingly, again and again. I found myself as a resume writer. Who knew that was going to happen? But the thing that first occurred to me was that this could be done in a wheelchair by somebody who is really quite significantly disabled. And I thought, now, how can I do that? How would I teach others to do this? And so I started an organization that was going to sell licenses, franchises, if you like, to people who I would train and support to do this work in other parts of Australia. That was in 1990. By the time I really got rocking and rolling with this thing, it was about 92, 93, and we started to attract people to want to learn. However, they weren't necessarily people with a disability, like may well have had hidden disabilities, but I taught them to write resumes the way I was doing it. I supported them. I helped them advertise and market their business, and it started to grow. Today, quickly cutting to the nub of the story, we have 35 offices across Australia. We have six that we're responsible for starting, though there is a new leader in New Zealand. We have one in Hong Kong, one in Singapore. We have had one in America and one in the UK, but they're not operating at the moment. We do have people with disabilities who are owners of businesses. They are in business because we encourage them to do so, because we train them and we ongoingly support them to be the best that they can be. I have also along the way, I guess another example of entrepreneurship. One day I found myself with a new wheelchair, but also the old one. And I thought, well, I'll sell that, get rid of that wheelchair. But I couldn't. Nobody would buy it. So I said, what can I do with a wheelchair? Oh, I know. I'll rent it. How will I do that? Start a website. So it took me about a morning to get a website up and running in the early days of websites. Put my phone number, email address, and somebody emailed me from the United States and said, you rent wheelchairs. I'm bringing my mom to Australia. I work for CBS, and I'm going to be out there for the Sydney Olympics. And I'm bringing my mom with me. She needs a wheelchair. Can I hire that? And I suddenly found myself hiring wheelchairs and acquiring more. And it got busy. And I took on a partner. And that business now runs very successfully under the ownership of my then partner, because I sold it to him. I live a quieter life these days. But there are some examples. Advertising agency, resume writer, wheelchair rental that I have done with my disability, and I think perhaps even because of my disability. Without a disability, I may not have been driven to want to prepare for my older age, which, as you can now see, is upon me. So that's a nutshell story of my life. We shared it online with people through the Entrepreneurs with Disabilities, which you were involved in, very significant contribution to its then success. And here I am. People call me an entrepreneur.
Maybe people call you a successful serial entrepreneur. And in the background, Doug, our producer, said, you know, you're a creative problem solving. You know, it was unfortunate that at 16, you were told that you were going to have a debilitating disability and you were going to die in early age. Luckily, that was not true, because you're still with us and still contributing to society. But I do think that often people with disabilities are underestimated. And certainly they're underestimated as far as entrepreneurship goes. And some of the best entrepreneurs I know have disabilities. And I think Doug is right with the comment that he made online, in that they're, you know, sometimes you have to be creative when you have problems, you know, and we all have problems. We all have obstacles and things. But at 16, John, I wasn't thinking about how do I take care of myself in the future. I wish I had thought like that, but I didn't. And so I think, you know, you make it sound easy being a successful entrepreneur. Of course, I know it's not. We all know it's not. I've been an entrepreneur for years, and it's really hard. And there are things that keep you up at night. That word, which I didn't know about before I became an entrepreneur, cash flow. And it's like, you're not. Oh, yes, yes. And I remember having to learn all the financial reports. And I had an entrepreneur tell me, I want to be entrepreneur, tell me one time that, you know, they didn't need to worry about those, you know, the balance date and the profit sheets, things like that. They don't need that. They didn't really want to worry about that. Well, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to learn everything. You're, you know, the chief bottle washer, as they say. You have to know everything. And I find, as somebody, when I created my first company, I was so naive, still naive in a lot of ways, but I just thought that because I was doing work that I really thought was important to the world, that the world would throw their arms open to me and I was just going to be this huge success. I'm not sure where I got that from, but you know, sometimes it's good to be naive, because maybe if I knew how hard it was going to be, I would have been too chicken to do it. So, and here we are now. But how, so over the years that you've been an entrepreneur and you've employed people with disabilities and helped other people with disabilities become entrepreneurs, you know, what you know, advice you have somebody that is, and I'll tell you, there's a woman working for my company right now in the Philippines, and she is, she's blind. And she was telling me the other day, I was so surprised, once again, naive, that she couldn't get her own bank account in the Philippines because the banks think it's a security risk. Somebody that's blind couldn't sign her own check so that people might steal her money. And I was like, really? I said, go and bank with an international bank in the Philippines. And she said, I am. And I was like, okay. So I know there's still so much, so many things that happen to people with disabilities. People with disabilities are not being, are not always taken serious in the workforce and as entrepreneurs. There's so many people that look at people with disabilities with, you know, with pity. And if there's one person I don't pity, it's you, John. You have a beautiful wife, you have children, you have a wonderful home, you have successful businesses. I have an emotion. It's more like jealous of how successful your businesses have been. But it, you know, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs, you know, regardless of where they are and how they can get started?
Well, I'm not sure there's one single piece of advice. I wish there were. but everybody's got a strength. And one of the strengths, as your producer Doug has pointed out, is we all have, as people with disability, because we have to have, is problem solving. And problem solving, by its very nature, is creative. You have to do things differently. You have to see things differently. And in doing that, you find a new way. Now, a new way could also be a way of working in a business. I was at a function last night with my wife, Suzanne Colbert, for the celebration of International Autism Day. It was sponsored by one of the big four banks in this country. There were lots of senior executives from big employers in attendance, and they were all celebrating the fact that they are now understanding how autism can, in fact, deliver problem solving for their businesses, how the people with autism are able to creatively problem solve, to do things in a way that others can't do because they see things differently. It was a very inspiring evening. But I think whether you're a wheelchair user, whether you are on the spectrum, whether you have sight impairment, hearing impairment, intellectual or psychiatric illnesses involved, they all are able to problem solve, to look for something they're good at and try to see how that fits into the fabric of their community and business life around them. You know, businesses don't have to be national or multinational. They can be corner stores. I think you call them mom and pop stores in America. that, start a business like that and you'll know what entrepreneurship's about because you're competing. You've got to be able to offer what the public wants. And we have an advantage, people with disability. We are offering the face of diversity to the world. And I go into a bank where there's a person with a disability working behind the counter, I will go to their queue, not to that of somebody else. I want to be served by a person with a disability because they understand me. Also because I think I want to be encouraging also. I think that the problem we face as people with disabilities is what is becoming a much more common phrase. I use it a lot. With the victims of soft bigotry caused by low expectation. Oh, yeah. We are people with disability are not expected to be able to do anything. Poor us. Yeah. Pat us on the head and give us a lump of sugar and we'll go away. No, we won't. We're here. We're making noise. We're positioning ourselves in our communities. We are becoming self-supporting and it is possible to do so. Find your niche and work on it. It would help to have a mentor. Find somebody in a business who you can say to, look, I think I would really value 30 minutes of your time every month. Could I have a cup of coffee with you and talk to you about how you became successful? That will get you started. And quite often, I've done that with people with resumes and said, you want a job in this area? We'll position you in your resume to do so, but you need help. And many people have gone to employers and said, look, I'm not after a job. I don't want you to give me any charity. I just want some time. And I'd like to sit with you for half an hour and pick your brains. May I do that? And quite often it's led to a job. You think creatively as you work out how to pick up your pen off the desk and write with it, as you work out how to use a new wheelchair, as you work out a new footpath in your community with the tactile surface indicators because you're very sight impaired. Think about how that is a problem you're solving. You will learn and you will be able to move forward. I would be much happier talking to individuals, and I was, about their individual problems and help them focus rather than come up with one particular statement that says, if you do this, you'll be an entrepreneur.
Right. And I know that now more people are becoming entrepreneurs all over the world than ever before. It's interesting when I first started my business in 2001, and it was called Tech Access. And what I had to spend money on then is very different from when I started my business, Root Global Communications. Root Global Communications, all I did was I paid for, you know, to get my license, my business license here in Virginia, and put up a website and work out of my home. And it's just amazing how much easier, looking from the United States lens, but it's not only happening in the U.S., I know it's happening all over the world. Some of the developed countries, you know, it's interesting the countries that are throwing roadblocks in entrepreneurs' ways. I always find that very interesting. And it's helpful to me to be able to travel around the world because I learn about things that I just thought they're solved, right? So I think it's very interesting to think about all of these issues and opportunities from the global lens, which is one reason why, you know, I always really, really enjoyed your work because I liked how you were thinking about the future. I want to be independent. I want to make sure I'm prepared. I want to be able to work. I want to contribute to society. I want to be a taxpayer.
Yes.
So I don't need you to pity me. I need you to, you know, purchase from me, not because I'm a person with disability, but because I'm better than everybody else, which is what we entrepreneurs always think about our services and solutions. Yes. But there's just so many interesting things happening with entrepreneurship for people with disabilities all over the world. There's very interesting programs. And I don't know if you've run into any, John. I've seen some really interesting ones in Spain and Portugal and South America.
I've heard about groups of women in India who are running their own individual businesses. Some are being encouraged by local authorities even.
Good.
Good for the whole community. I'm not sure that people or organisations or bureaucracies actually attempt to put roadblocks. I think in starting a business, for example, it can be difficult for anybody. On the other hand, it can be easy, namely my wheelchair rental business. One wheelchair, one website, one phone number, one email address. Call me if you want one. And it happened. Lucky positioning, who knows, the right place at the right time, all of those things. You know, it didn't rain on the day, whatever. You know, there's a lot of things that you can blame or credit for success or failure. But at the end of the day, I think Nike said it a long time ago, just do it.
Right, right. I agree.
But I'm happy to talk. Anybody wants to get in touch with me for some ideas, or I'm happy to mentor people. By all means, make connection, and I'll do what I can to help you.
So with that, how would somebody get hold of you?
I'm on Facebook. How did they get hold of you on Facebook? Look up your name, I suppose.
That's right. You would type in John Little, and you know that John lives in Australia.
Yep.
And so that's definitely a good way to get hold of him. I mentioned, his wife Suzanne Claire, she was on the show, and you can always check out the work that she's doing in Australia. And
I've got
a lot of different ways to
Twitter account at John Little. That's me on Twitter. I have my best email, I think, would be john.little@mail.com. Not cool. Gmail, at mail.com.
Just mail.
Any of those would get hold of me, and I'd be happy to help and talk.
And John, do you still accept entrepreneurs in the resume CV business? Are you still teaching people to do that business?
Oh, yes. At the moment now, I don't work so much hands-on in the business. I'm just a figurehead, if you like. Our daughter is based in Singapore, runs the whole operation from there. And we certainly have opportunities in America, in the UK, in Malaysia. And for people who are interested in starting out, we can see if we can make that happen.
And what is the name of the business, John?
In Australia, it's called Successful Resumes Australia. Beyond that, it's Successful Resumes with whatever the name of the country is. Successful Resumes Singapore, Successful Resumes Hong Kong, Successful Resumes New Zealand, etc.
Excellent. Well, John, thank you so much for starting your morning and your day with us. And thank you for all the work. You've been a mentor to me, because I remember I asked you a lot of advice along the way as I tried to. One thing that I always was a little bit annoyed with is that the work that I do, because it is about championing the community, people with disabilities and all those topics, many people always expect me to be a charity. I'm not a charity. I'm a for-profit business. Absolutely. And I don't think dealing with people with disabilities should always be about charity and pity. I don't believe it. And so that's something I learned from you, John. You're like, no, for profit business.
We are. We help people make profit as employees, and we create profit as employers.
Yes. And we add to society. We add to society, Seth.
Absolutely. Yes. Completely and utterly.
Well, John, thank you so very much for being on the program. You really honored me. And I know that maybe some people didn't know about you, and I'm hoping that people are listening to you today. And if you're a person with a disability or a person without a disability and you want to be an entrepreneur, John Little is the man to talk to, because he has done it over and over and over again, successfully franchising. And he proves once again what we can do when we put our mind to it. John, any final words?
Thank you for having me on. And I'm successful because of my disability, not in spite of it.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work with Deborah Rue. To learn more about Deborah and how she can help your organization, visit RueGlobal.com. If you've enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes, go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, Human Potential at Work. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode.